Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming your way from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome to the show. Two rockets were fired at Israel from Gaza on Thursday evening, setting off sirens in Tel Aviv. There's been no claim of responsibility. Israel bombed more than 100 targets in the Palestinian territory in response. The nine rockets were fired from Gaza at Israel in retaliation, three of them hitting their targets. Now, this is the first rocket fire toward Tel Aviv since Israel's 2014 war on the Gaza Strip. What's become of Israel's Iron Dome? What's the key to Palestinians' resistance against Israel's aggressions and their ability to respond even more effectively despite years of land, sea, and air blockade? Now, before debating the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, let's cross over to Ramallah to get an update from our correspondent there, Mona Kandil, about the rockets from Gaza that hit near Tel Aviv. Mona, over to you.
It was the Israeli officials who revealed that it seems the rockets that were intercepted by the Iron Dome defense system, these rockets were accidentally fired from the Gaza Strip. However, in a way or another, despite the Israelis say that the rockets were likely launched accidentally, but it seems, according to the Israeli media here, that Israel still hold Hamas resistance group responsible for the attacks, especially that it's well known that if the jihad movement carried out this missile attack, they would immediately claim responsibility for the attack. However, none of the Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip claimed responsibility for these rockets. It seems that the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip left for a few hours that threatened to plunge the region into further chaos, but Palestinian media were speaking about an Egyptian intervention. There was Egyptian officials holding meetings with Hamas delegates, and it seems that both sides, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, as well as the Israelis, are not interested in a new war, maybe at the time being.
Update, Mona Kandil, our correspondent, who joined us from occupied Ramallah. Let's introduce our guests in this edition of The Debate. We'll have journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover from New York, and also professor of political science with Bursa'id University, Saad Nim, who's joining us out of Ramallah. Good to have you with us both. Let's begin with Maxine. For the first time in 5 years, Palestinian rockets landed near Tel Aviv. How important is this militarily?
Well, I think that having seen a film taken as the Iron Dome took those rockets out well above Tel Aviv, I would argue with the word landed. They were fired at Tel Aviv. They did not land near Tel Aviv.
They found the remains, Maxine. It was
to,
Times of Israel
assure
reported
the correspondent.
They found the remains. The Israeli media reported that.
The Times of it. Well, I have seen the film, and I have seen the proper use of Iron Dome. The Times of Israel is not my responsibility. And I am sure that there were many who were assured by the Iron Dome. The fact that Hamas, even if it were Hamas renegades who fired these rockets, or rogue groups as has been proposed, the control means that Hamas is not controlling those who can fire rockets capable of reaching Tel Aviv. And if the ceasefire is to be maintained, obviously that is one of the conditions. No rockets can reach Tel Aviv and allow a ceasefire to continue. The fact that Egypt was so excellent in arranging this ceasefire and reinstating the ceasefire is much to the commendation for the Egyptian negotiators. I think the fact that Israel was able to extract the penalty of destruction of the Hamas terror military targets speaks to the fact that Israel has been clearly capable of taking these actions at any point. And the response was immediate, and the targets were well known to be military targets. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the ceasefire mm-hmm. was able to be reinstated, again, cheers to the Egyptians and to Hamas and to the Israeli government for being sensible about not inciting a war.
Okay, let's go to Ramallah and have Saad Nim's reaction to your comments.
Good evening for you and your guest and also all the viewers. As a matter of fact, I would like to correct Maxine. The film that you saw was in 2014 war, and the Israelis said that this film was imitating the same thing, but it's from the 2014 war. The Israeli announced that they did not use the dome at all.
No, I'm afraid it was a personal film that was filmed as this was happening.
2014, that film, which was all over
very
the
much.
2019, media.
2019, as it was happening.
Let me finish my sentence, Maxine, please. The Israeli media, they said that the Israeli army did not use the dome at all this time, and both rockets came into an empty areas, and no harm was done. Now, the improportional reaction by the Israeli was absolutely quite clear. 100 target was hit in Gaza, and this due to the pressure which government Netanyahu's government came under, and especially Netanyahu personally came under, because of the election situation. Most of the other parties were waiting for this opportunity to embarrass Netanyahu and to say, okay, what are you going to do with Hamas? What are you going to do with Gaza? In spite of the fact that there is no one claimed that they are responsible for this rockets, and Hamas said that we are looking at it. Also, Jihad al-Islami, they said that we didn't fire any rockets. And they are going to investigate what was going on. In spite of that fact, next night Israel launched this attack of 100 positions that were hit by the Israeli aeroplanes. And as I said, there were two people were injured severely, a man and his wife. She was pregnant. And apart from that, it was in proportionate kind of retaliation by the Israeli. Mm-hmm.
Now, Maxine, like Saad also said, Israel bombed 100 targets in the Gaza Strip. Now, the escalation comes ahead of Israel's April 9th
military targets
general elections. Whatever, it was the two, and then this was 100, whatever you call it now. This is just ahead of the general elections in Israel. What does a full-fledged escalation mean for Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Well, I think we have to go back to the source of the rockets, which was in Gaza. And we have to go further into the investigation, and I'm sure that is being done, as to who, in fact, fired these rockets. Whatever the election conditions may be, whatever Prime Minister Netanyahu whatever pressure he feels, there is certainly no expectation that rockets fired over Tel Aviv, fired over a city of concentrated population, civilian population, would be an election ploy. That's certainly never going to happen. Whatever one's politics are, Prime Minister Netanyahu's first and foremost responsibility is to protect the people of Israel. And this response, this attack on military targets in Gaza, is exactly that. It's to protect the people, the citizens of Israel, and that includes the 6 million Jewish citizens and the 2 million Arab citizens and the 500,000 citizens of other backgrounds. The citizens of Israel must be protected, and that's what this military foray was.
Okay.
It was a protection operation.
Okay, Saad, with Palestinian rockets landing near Tel Aviv, it seems that Palestinians have not only grown more resilient against Israeli aggression, they're also capable of responding more effectively. What's the key to their success?
Well, you know quite well that the Palestinian resistance in Gaza, whether it's Hamas or Jihad Islami or the other organizations, now they obtain these kind of very precise missiles, and they announce that that we have precise missiles can hit any target in Israel. And I think that had helped a lot in preventing another war on Gaza, and especially nowadays during the elections. I don't think that Netanyahu now interested in going into war into Gaza, because that would cost him a lot. They knew from the last previous wars, the last two wars at least, in 2012 and 2014, that all what they do is just bombarding Gaza, bombarding the civilians there, and nothing could, you know, uproot Hamas, as they said in the first two wars, that their operation is going to end Hamas rule in Gaza, and that didn't happen at all. They know that. They know that if they want to really confront Hamas, they have to go into the ground, and definitely the Israeli army is not prepared to go into the ground, because they do know that the cost is going to be very, very high, and neither Netanyahu or anybody else in Israel could tolerate this kind of a price to pay. So they know that if you go for another escalation and another war, it will be just to bombard the civilians in Gaza. And let me just comment for 1 second, the civilian in Tel Aviv should be protected, but this is hypocrisy, because the civilian in Gaza should not be protected. 100 raids against Gaza, civilians should not be protected. But Tel Aviv, yes, they should be protected. Are we talking here about white supremacy again? Are we talking about the favorite, or, you know, people over
no,
other people who do not care?
No, we are talking about protecting all citizens. Professor, shame on you.
What about the citizens of Gaza?
Professor, shame on you.
White
supremacy is not an idea that applies anywhere in the Middle East. It, as you know well,
it is.
More
it is
than
absolutely
half the population, the Jewish
Palestine.
Population of Israel is from Arab countries, and you can't tell the difference
they are
in
white.
Physical appearance between most Arabs and most Jews from the same Arab countries. So, Professor, shame on you on that. As far as protecting the citizens of Gaza,
no, I won't
absolutely
accept that
they
because,
should be protected.
Because when we talk,
and who should
when
be protecting them?
White
their government should be protecting
the color,
them.
It's about the
Professor,
mind. It's about
the government
the head.
That sits
what
in Ramallah should be
the
protecting
supremacy.
The citizens of Palestine.
Anyway,
the government that sits in Ramallah should be
there.
Able to protect the citizens of Palestine.
Okay,
let's not speak on top of one another. We'll get nothing done.
Okay, let's
However,
get back to the main topic.
The idea of protecting citizens is a universal one.
Okay, Maxine, let's get back to the main topic as you
yes,
also
Yes, absolutely,
advised.
But you didn't mention the protection of the citizens
of
Gaza. You didn't mention the citizens of Gaza. You mentioned only
did.
The citizens of Tel Aviv.
I certainly did. The citizens of Gaza must be protected by their government. And
Thank
the government
you.
Is sitting in Ramallah and unable to break the hold of Hamas.
Okay, Maxine and
Sad, they are not sitting
Maxine
in Ramallah.
I got a question for both of you.
The protection is to stop rockets.
Okay, Maxine, do Palestinians in Gaza have the right of self-defense or not?
Yes. The Palestinians in Gaza deserve to be protected. Self-defense, yes, but not attack.
Uh-huh.
Should any people be attacking another, its neighbors? I don't think so.
Okay.
And I think that the people of Israel would far rather be in a non-need to attack position than in a need to attack to protect its citizens. If the citizens of Gaza were able and enabled by the international community, by Israel, but most of all by their own government to increase their viability, their schools, their hospitals, their homes, not terror tunnels and not rockets,
okay,
they would have a much more
now, let's go
normal,
to Ramallah now.
Positive life.
Okay, sad. Maxim was talking about schools, hospitals. Of course, we know most of them in Gaza are not working now. What should Gaza do in the face of their self-defense, in your opinion?
Yes, exactly, exactly. What should they do? They've been attacked all the time in three wars and a constant bombings of Gaza every when and while. Now they have to protect themselves. How? They have the right to protect themselves. The international community, we've been under siege for the last 12 years and none of the international community interfered. They didn't do anything to the Gazan people. Okay, so the Gazan people are not allowed to attack others, but how to protect yourself and to self-defense. Israel all the time, they attack Gaza under the pretension of self-defense. Now the Gazans went to demonstrations in order to say that we are suffering here, and yet they were killed, they were having lots of atrocities by the Israeli army, and yet Maxine is defending the Israeli side. So how could they protect themselves, or where is the right? Wait a minute, don't interrupt me. Where is the right of self-protect or self-retaliate? Do they have the right to do that or not? And in what way? Just sitting there and smiling to the Israeli missiles? If that what she want, Yani, or what? So if they do anything against the Israeli who are sieging them for the last 12 years and making their life miserable, nothing is accepted. Nothing is accepted at all. So how could they protect themselves? They have the right to defend themselves. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly the same right okay. which she gave to the Israelis to protect themselves. Palestinians have the right to protect themselves.
Now, Maxine, in the same way. In the same line, Maxine, Israeli Finance Minister Moshe Kahlon has backed Netanyahu's response to anti-Israeli protests in Gaza. You know, more than 250 Palestinians have been killed in peaceful protests of the Great Return March, and that by Israeli snipers. Are Netanyahu's crimes against the people of Gaza defendable in any way?
Number one, these are not peaceful protests. What happened on Friday? As part of the ceasefire, Hamas simply said no protest. No one was hurt, no one was injured, no noise was made, no one had to respond in any way negative. There was a quiet and peaceful, worshipful Friday in Gaza, at least in Gaza. We know, of course, what has happened in New Zealand, and we, all of us human beings, are shocked by such a horror. And I think that this is something that we should look at as a signature that we must unite, all of us, for the peaceful coexistence that allows people to live normal lives. In every synagogue throughout the United States and in my personal synagogue, the mention of this horror and this tragedy was taken deeply to heart, made us all deeply saddened. In every church, I think similar things must have occurred. Yesterday, Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York held a rally that was originally scheduled to protest an act of anti-Semitism. And in honor of the memory of the people who were killed in New Zealand, both all of the communities, the Muslim community, the Christian community, the Jewish community, the Black community, the white community, united and stood together and offered a prayer for the souls of those people killed, and for all of humanity. Okay. And I bring that back to speak to the need for caring for the people of Gaza and their government's obligation to care for them and to end this conflict that causes so much horror, so much damage on all sides. In the north of Israel, two people were stabbed to death this week.
Maxine, allow me to go to Ramallah
to ask Saad. Stop this.
Okay, let's. Saad, Maxine is saying that the people who are protesting in Gaza, they're not normal people. Who are they and what are they protesting for?
Thousands upon thousands of people, tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands were marching in these marches in Gaza since March last year, and now we are approaching the next year, and now the Israelis are preparing for themselves for the 30th of this month, which is marking a whole 1 year of the Great Return March. The Palestinians are trying to send a very strong message to the whole international community as well as to the Israelis that we are are the Palestinians who are living in Gaza. We cannot live any longer in the same way under this siege, which is unfair and it's unlawful kind of siege against the Palestinians there. And also we have the right to return to our land, which we were expelled out of and deprived out of it and ethnically cleansed out of it. And we have the right to return. So these great marches is an expression of the bad situation that the Palestinians are living in Gaza under the Israeli siege. And that's the only way for them to protest and to show that. And yet, in spite of that, there were a kind of an aggression and a huge aggression. As you mentioned, more than 260 Palestinians were killed during these marches. Some part of them were children and women and even workers, media workers, as well as medics. They were killed in these marches, and these killings were absolutely intentional, because we are talking here about snipers, and the sniper with his rifle, he could see exactly the target, he could pin out the target, he know exactly who is he could see his clothing, he could see everything, okay. Then he will kill him. So how could they do that, right, to, you know, medics or to press people or to children intentionally?
Okay, sorry, I have to jump in, we're out of time. I should thank both of you, we had journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover from New York, and also professor of political science from Versailles University, Saad Nim, who joined us from Ramallah. And thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.